It's here and now.
For every Southern boy 14 years old, not once, but whenever he wants it, there is the instant when it's still not yet 2 o'clock on that July afternoon in 1863.
On that afternoon, 150 years ago today, Major George Pickett prepared to lead Southern Confederate troops against Union soldiers on Cemetery Ridge on the final day of the Battle of Gettysburg.
The brigades are in position behind the rail fence. The guns are laid and ready in the woods, and the furled flags are already loosened to break out. And Pickett himself, with his long, oiled ringlets and his hat in one hand, probably, and his sword in the other, looking up the hill, waiting for Longstreet to give the word, and it's all in the balance. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't even begun yet. It not only hasn't begun yet, but there's still time for it not to begin against that position and those circumstances which made more men than Garnett and Kemper and Armstead and Wilcox look grave. Yet it's going to begin. We all know that. We have come too far with too much at stake. And that moment doesn't need even a 14-year-old boy to think, this time. Maybe this time, with all this much to lose and all this much to gain, Pennsylvania, Maryland, the world, the golden dome of Washington itself to crown with desperate and unbelievable victory, the desperate gamble, the cast made 2 years ago.
But the Confederate troops would lose that battle, and from there the Civil War. And as the great Southern writer William Faulkner wrote in 1948 in the novel Intruder in the Dust, from then on, every 14-year-old white Southern boy could be struck with the thought that there was a moment before their forefathers were defeated. We wondered how that passage resonates today, so we called another great Southern writer, one of our favorites, Ron Rash, to read and comment on it. He joins us from the Clemson University studios. Ron Rash, this moment in time before the ground is soaked with blood. And you remind us how complicated this all gets in the South.
Well, that's what makes the passage in some ways very interesting to me, because I'm old enough to remember in 1961 watching a parade honoring the Confederacy. But at the same time, I also knew and have come to know even more that so many of my family fought for the Union because they were from the Appalachian Mountains. The only photograph I have of a Civil War ancestor, he's wearing a Union uniform.
Mm-hmm. Well, but talk about Faulkner. We glean some of it there, but what was he saying?
In that very scene, you sense a man who had grown up in a time when he could actually talk to Confederate veterans. And as a Southerner growing up in that culture, in a family that considered itself aristocratic, this would be the view of so many of his generation. Yet what I find amazing about the passage is it's actually an Intruder in the Dust, a novel that in many ways negates all of that passage.
Meaning what?
The hero in the novel is very much Lucas Beauchamp, a black man who's been wrongly accused of murder, a black man who refuses to be treated as a second-class citizen. And this novel was written in 1948, so Faulkner is not allowing us any easy sentimentality.
Let's listen to a scene from the 1949 movie based on the book Intruder in the Dust, which has been compared to Kill a Mockingbird because you have this black heroic character falsely accused, and he's trying to prove his innocence with the help of a white lawyer and that lawyer's young nephew. Here he addresses them.
You, young man, tell your uncle I wants to see him.
Want to see who?
Wants to see a lawyer.
Lawyer? He ain't even going to need an undertaker.
Lucas, has it ever occurred to you that if you just said Mr. to white people and said it like you meant it, you might not be sitting here now?
So I'm to commence now. I can start off by saying Mr. to folks that drags me out of here and builds a fire under me?
So, Ron Rasha, those are pretty strong words for 1949 South.
Oh, yes, and Faulkner got a lot of criticism within the South. But I think that, once again, is what makes him such a fascinating writer is that, you know, this man who could, in a sense, write a scene such as the one that we read earlier about that July afternoon, this great moment, could also, in a story like Wash, a short story that he wrote about a Colonel Sutpen, who was in some ways the personification of the greatness of these Southern leaders, could show him as a man who is ultimately a monster.
Well, what else is Faulkner saying in that passage, though, this idea that for every Southern boy 14 years old, there's this constant recurring realization that there was a moment before the South lost? Is it still true? I can see maybe in Faulkner's day, but is that still part of the South?
Not as much. One thing I found kind of interesting is that as we, you know, at this time where the anniversary, the 150-year anniversary, it just doesn't seem to be very important in the South.
That's so interesting because we know that, of course, it is fiercely still held to in pockets of the South, people who still embrace the Confederate flag, for instance, even though that's a toxic symbol to others. But you're saying that it's somewhat faded.
Oh, yes. Once again, it gets into the complexity of how you view the South, how you view that war. Faulkner once said the past is not dead, it's not even past. And I think the fact that today in the South, it is very tough to talk about these questions. It's very difficult for someone who has pride in his or her ancestors, yet at the same time make clear that he or she's not a racist. I mean, I think this is the quandary that makes talking about this so difficult.
That's Ron Rash talking to us from the studios of Clemson University on this, the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Battle. Ron's latest book is a collection of short stories, Nothing Gold Can Stay. We'll link you to our conversation with him about that at hereandnow.org. Ron, thanks as always.
Thank you.
One more nod to Gettysburg as we close. When the movie Lincoln came out, our colleague Steph Katsonis was upset that his sons didn't know the Gettysburg Address. He made a bet that they couldn't memorize it. One took him up on it. Dad lost. Here is 11-year-old Julian Katsonis. See if you can do it with him.
87 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. We are now engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are now met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those that gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us to live in, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth.
The Gettysburg Address, read by 11-year-old Julian Katsonis, who, by the way, turns 12 tomorrow on the 4th. Jeremy, how'd you do?
I think I have still a little work to do on that one.
He shames me. This is Here and Now. From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Jeremy Hobson.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Chipotle Mexican Grill, committed to the respect of animals, farmers, and the environment. Local sourcing and menu information at chipotle.com.